The Agriculture Minister, Barnaby Joyce, has signed the agreement that sees unprecedented access for Australian cattle to China.
It's massive. This deal has the capacity to be absolutely massive. And it's good for Australia because it says to people in the protein market, and that's what they're in, whether it's bovine protein cattle or ovine and sheep or caprine and goats or vegetable and beans such as chickpeas, that if you're in the protein market, you've got a strong future.
The deal sets some conditions about how the cattle should be prepared. They must be free of hormone implants and not pregnant. The minister expects once the animal welfare audits called SCAS reporting are in place, 40,000 cattle will be ready for export this year. It's delighted northern cattle producers who've just seen a major slump in export permits to Indonesia. Kimberley pastoralist David Stoat.
Because of its great potential, we've still got the other good markets in Indonesia and, you know, Vietnam and Malaysia and the Middle East, so you know, the industry needs all the options it can, as we've seen from what's happened in Indonesia just recently. So it's great to have this market, you know, as part of the whole suite of markets available to us.
But with the health protocol for cattle requiring them to be quarantined for blue tongue virus, which is more common in northern Australia, it's expected that southern cattle will fill the livestock ships. Hereford breeder Mark Greening at Injamira Stud in southern New South Wales.
Well, in the past, we've been exporting breeding heifers under the breeding protocol. But the signing of this new agreement and protocol enables slaughter-ready cattle to go and also feeder cattle to go, which is, from a grassroots producer's perspective, is extremely exciting. It just opens us up to a world market and makes us competitive at the farm gate with current world prices, which are at an all-time high.
Mark Greening says processors will be forced to pay even more for cattle, which will bring prices more in line with the US.
The US is currently on around $8 a head live weight per kilo, where Australia we're getting $3 to $3.20. We need to get closer to that $8 and increase competition in the Australian marketplace is the only way that that's going to happen.
Australia's boxed beef exports to China has skyrocketed from nothing to $650 million last year, and processors rely on that market to take the secondary cuts that don't go to Japan or Korea. Processors are warning that agents will be scratching to find an extra million cattle to export live a year. Rabobank's meat analyst Matthew Costello agrees.
Well, I think if you look at the volumes processed over the last few years, I think everyone would be in agreement that we're going to see a very tight supply situation unfold. So I think the statistics around how high our female cattle slaughter has been, you know, over 30 months of higher year-on-year cattle slaughter, will highlight that. Once the dust settles and we do get a really improved season, particularly in Queensland, where it's been very challenging for lots and lots of farmers, I think we are going to see a significant reduction in cattle availability.
The RSPCA's chief scientist, Bidder Jones, worries about the welfare of cattle once they arrive, given there is no SCAS supply chain agreement yet.
We've had no evidence of animal welfare standards in China, but probably more important is this is a deal with a country that is already Australia's biggest agricultural customer. So we're already exporting $1.3 billion worth of meat to China. Why would we be opening up a live export market that is going to be parasitizing that trade, pulling cattle out of Australian abattoirs to put them on ships to send them to Chinese abattoirs? Why would the Australian government be supporting that when they should be supporting slaughtering those animals in this country?